turn with me to Luke 4. See, Luke 4:18. Notice what he says here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Just say it with me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the recovery of the sight of the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. See, that's the way that we should be reading it, because see, it's personal. It's not just something that Jesus did, but it's our assignment that he's given us. It's the assignment he's put out there for your heart. And you guess what else it is? It's actually an invitation to come and witness, because that's what he was doing. He was witnessing to the people what heaven was like. He was witnessing to the people what the Father was like. He was the eyewitness, because he knew the Father and the Father knew him. And he was taking this and he was beginning to say, it says, proclaim it. So there's an eyewitness that you're beginning to join into as you begin to say and release those words. There's an eyewitness that he begins to stir up in us, because there's something that we should be doing with this word, is releasing it to those that we know. When there's something that we come into and it's good, we want to testify. When we come into something, we find something that's good, we want to share it with those who are around us. And that's what he's doing. He's sharing that which was good with those who are around. He's beginning to testify of who the Father is. He's beginning to testify and release to them and proclaim what the time and the date was. Because it's now the favorable year of the Lord. It's the time for the captives to come free. It's the time for there to be a transformation of the people stepping out of darkness and into light. And this is what he was beginning to tell them. Hello, we're here. And it's time. There's something powerful about a testimony. There's something powerful about a witness. Because see, that witness has the ability to relate to you something that you may not have seen yet. And that's what he's joining us to. Rosalinda, you got a second? Can you come here and just share just what you did? I know I'm putting you on the spot, baby. Just what you shared with me. Just a couple minutes there about what happened when you went to Michigan. About what was in you was being used.
Well, I went to Michigan because, well, we came here 8 months ago, and my children went to Michigan for the summer. So I was going to Michigan to pick them up. And before that, on June 27th, I came up for emotional healing. So a lot of things were broken. And then I decided to do Sozo. And I did Sozo, and I was completely free. I was just on fire. I felt so different. My mind, everything. It was just an amazing, about to cry. It's an amazing experience. So I was telling Pastor Anna about it, and she's like, and I was telling my sister and my friends and, you know, about it. And I said, you guys got to have it. It's awesome. It just sets you free. And Pastor Anna said, well, I'll give you the manual. Well, when I first met Pastor Anna, she gave me the manual, but she goes, bring your manual and I'll highlight it for you. And I said, okay. So when I went to Michigan, I was telling one of my friends about it, and she's like, I want that. I said, okay. So I did Sozo with her, and she was set free. Yeah. Yes. Never did it in my life, but it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit. It was Jesus. It was amazing experience. And then I had a friend who... this was an amazing experience. I had a friend that I've known for like 10 years, and she was, I found out that when she was younger through Sozo, anyways, I asked her, she went through Sozo, she said yes. My friend said she would watch her child, so her child, she went with her. It's just like the Lord just orchestrated it all. It was a divine appointment. So I get there, and so I said, so do you want to do it? She's like, yes, that I can do it. I'm telling you, you'll be free. Because when I seen her, she looked so heavy and so depressed, and I'm like, I've never seen her. It was weird. I was like, wow, you look really sad. And she's like, I've been going through a lot of things. And I said, I understand. I said, but you could be set free. So I was sitting there with her, and all of a sudden the Lord says, does she know me? And I was like, So I asked, and I said, if you would die tonight, would you go to heaven? And she's like, she goes, yeah. And I said, well, why? Or on what basis? She's like, she never said Jesus Christ. She was like, well, because of this and that and this and that. Yeah. She did say that. She goes, because, you know, I'm a good person. I said, okay. So as soon as that happened, I swear, I felt this hotness all over my body, and I felt like I was going to faint. And she felt the same thing at the same time. And I got up, and I was like, oh, in the name of Jesus, it was the weirdest thing that ever happened to me. So I got up, and I started praying. I was like, and then she goes, Rosie, she goes, I feel weird. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, something's telling me that you're evil. Something's telling me that you're going to hurt me, that I shouldn't do it, that it's going to be okay, that I'm okay. She goes, but I know I'm not going crazy because I know you. I've known you. You're like my sister. I said, don't listen to that. So we were having a friend come over, and my friend I've known her for about 10 years too, and she is a really strong woman of God. She came and she was my intercessor. So we went downstairs in that basement, and let me tell you, it was 4 hours. I'm not kidding you. There was a lot of witchcraft, occult, idolatry. Her father was into Santeria, which is really heavy stuff. And when she was a little girl, it came out that she was baptized in it, and she had a ceremony and all kinds of stuff. And let me tell you, I had confrontation with evil. I'm not even kidding you. But in the name of Jesus, I was down there warring with them. It was awesome. It was awesome. And I remember I took Pastor Anna had called. Well, before that, Pastor Anna, I called her, and I'm like, I was telling her what happened. And she's like, well, did she ever receive Jesus? And she's like, remember when I went to church with you and at Brother Lee's church? And I was like, and then the Lord said, no, he tricked you. You were not saved because she never said Jesus. So we went through salvation prayer with Pastor Anna, and then I had texted her. You know, she texted me, how'd it go? And I remember I go, call me. So I called. She called me, and she goes, welcome to my world. But it was an amazing experience. So that was like the second day I got there. So then... the next time I did the second social session for my first friend... But the Lord had revealed so much to me. He told me, he said, this is the reason why you guys are friends. Like, I met her when I first got saved. But he told me, he said, this is the reason you guys are friends. Because on August 7, 2013, she was going to be set free. And it was just an amazing thing. So, and it was amazing. So after that, my mom was really acting strange. And she was kind of like, wanting to be with me, but not wanting to be with me. And I was thinking about it, and something told me, don't tell your mom about Sozo. Don't even tell her, because she's not even going to think about it. She's going to think it's stupid. And then one day we were in the kitchen, we're sitting there, and she starts crying, and she's like, I'm going through so much, and blah, blah. She was crying, and my mom, you can be set free. And she's looking at me, and I told her about my experience, and she looked at me, she goes, I want that. And I said, I said, okay. Bingo. I said, okay. I said, but you can't omit anything, Mom. And she just looks at me. She's like, you can't do it. I said, no. So anyway, long story short, she was really, I want to go to Houston. But my friend, the one that was set free in the basement, she talked to my mom on Sunday. I had a little get together at my brother's house. And whatever she said to my mom said, I'm going to Texas with you. And we got in the car. Now, on the way to Texas, we went to a restaurant, one of my favorite restaurants, and it's just a little Coney Island that has the best breakfast in the world. But anyways, we went there, and my brother showed up, and he looked really heavy, and he's like, I'm going through so much. And the Lord said, I just started ministering to him. I said, you know, you can be set free, Alex, you're Sozo. And so I started saying, just come to Texas. My mom's like, just come, Alex, just come. Just come. We're going to, you know, I'll pay for everything, because my brother is going through a lot. And my mom's like, I'll pay for it. And he's like, well, what about my son? She goes, well, bring him too. Well, anyways, long story short, I brought my mom and my brother and my sister. My sister, I had told her about it on the phone. Like, after I got it done, I was like, Maida, you don't understand. I'm free. It's an amazing. And I was telling her in the bathroom, she starts crying. She goes, I want that. I said, oh, yes, you do. So she wasn't gonna come to Michigan because she didn't have the money, but she has something happened. The Lord, it was unexpected money she didn't expect from work. And then all of a sudden she got a flight for, you know, she was looking, it was 330, and then it went down to 130. And then she's like, I don't know if I should do it. Then she waited another night. It was still 130. She's like, I have to go, don't I? I said, You know, so she came and she, you know, she did sozo and she was set free as well. And it's just, so my sozo has really have set so many people free, and I'm on fire, and I'm doing intercessory now for that too. And I just love it. And whoever hasn't had it, they should have it, because they will be set free in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Hang on. So, Father, just in the name of Jesus, Father, we just thank you. And, Father, I ask you just to bring all this, Father, into your fullness and your fruition. Father, we just thank you for what you've already done. And we just release your power, Father, in her. And even now, Father, to speak, Father, and with the even greater boldness, Father, and just release the testimony as she has already done, Father, in even greater ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's something about the testimony. There's something about the witness. See, when something stirs your heart, it stirs others who are around you. When it stirs your heart and you allow it to have that stirring within you, then that effect will happen everywhere that you go. The same thing that was on her was, see, there she had this fervor for the freedom that she had found. She had an excitement for the freedom that she had found. We have excitement for what God is doing in us. Then there's a release that happens just as a natural flow out of that freedom that you have already found. That's the thing that we need to recognize, is there's a power. He's saying, this is what we proclaim. This is what we proclaim. Acts 10:38 says that he anointed Jesus. He anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. He anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. Just look at it for yourself. He says here, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him. God the Father anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. God was with him. See, this is something he began to do on the behalf of the people that were out there, because the Lord had put on him an anointing. The Lord had covered him, and anointing means to smear. The Lord had come and smeared the Holy Spirit on him. The Lord has come and smeared the power of the Lord upon him. And because he began to be having that with him, then he carried it with him everywhere that he went, and he transformed the very atmospheres that he walked in. He transformed the very lives he came in contact with because the anointing had been smeared upon him. Well, guess what? It doesn't stop there. The message doesn't stop there. The message goes on. Because if you'll look in John 20, verse 21 with me. Go there real quick, because I just want, it's only a couple pages back. John 20, verse 21. Jesus said, therefore, to him, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. I don't think you got it. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. That same power, that same anointing, the same smearing that he put upon Jesus is the same smearing that he's putting upon you. The same anointing that he's putting upon you. And he's just smearing you with the Holy Ghost. He's smearing you with the power. He's smearing you, because then if you'll be smeared with that Holy Ghost and power, if you'll be anointed as he was anointed, you'll walk in the same way. And he said, this anointing is yours. As the Father sent me, so I send you. It's not an if. It's as I have already. He repeats himself in John 17. When you see it twice in the world, pay extra attention. John 17, verse 18, thou didst send me into the world. I also have sent them into the world. He's equipping you in the same way that he got equipped. He's giving you the same tool that he had to work with. He said, that Holy Ghost and power, the release of this is all here for you. The testimony of Jesus. The spirit of prophecy. It's all here for you. The witness that's in there is here for you to go forth and be a witness of what heaven is like. It's here for you to go forth and be a witness of what the kingdom of God is all about. Because see, these are the things that we can begin to be excited about. How we can recognize it and release it. Where we go. Flip over to 1 John. We're going to go to 1 John 2. 20. Just in case you missed what I said earlier. It says right here. But you have an anointing from the Holy Ghost. From the Holy One, as you all know. You, each and every one of you, HRC, you have an anointing. You want to walk in power? Begin to agree with what the Word says. Come into agreement with what the Word says. Begin to put on your strut. Begin to say, hey, I have an anointing. Come on. I've got an anointing. I've got an anointing. Just walk with a little confidence. Get a little cocky. Begin to have a little anointing. Begin to have a little rejoicing in the anointing. Some of you are looking like, huh? I don't want to do that. Come on. Come on. Loosen up. Loosen up. Because we can have, if we're going to have a confidence in anything, it needs to be a confidence in the Lord. His Word says you have an anointing. I don't want to be the one who's coming into disagreement with what the Lord said. We have an anointing. He said, I have an anointing. He says, Tammy has an anointing. He says, Roxanne has an anointing. He says, Mike and Steve have an anointing. It's His Word. You have an anointing. I want to just throw this part out here. Walking in anointing, walking in power and everything else, it's not about earning your place with God. Luke 3:23 tells us that the Father came out of heaven, just boomed out of heaven when Jesus was being baptized, and this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. When did He do that? Before He ever did any of the miracles. He had not done miracle one. All He did was be His Son. When you're the Son, He's pleased. When you'll take your sonship and own it, He's pleased. And so what we begin to do with the anointing, what we begin to do when we begin to speak and prophesy and have words of wisdom and words of knowledge and release the miracles and signs and wonders, all those things are because we love God, not to get God's love. All those things are to bring a testimony and a witness of who God is. It's about creating the witness. Those things aren't just for boastful use. They're for creating the witness and allowing the witness to go with us. God loves you whether you ever do anything or not. Don't tell Pastor I said this, but God loves you if you never give another nickel in an offering. Don't tell Pastor I said this. He said, what you do there is about who you are. What you do there is about what God is doing in you, about your rejoicing to do these things for Him. Amen. Amen. When was the Father pleased? Before He ever did anything. Before He had ever done one miracle. The Father was still pleased. This is not about earning our salvation. This is not earning favor. This is not earning anything. This is about being the witness and allowing the witness to testify. Allowing the witness to do just like what Rosalinda shared with us, where people around us go, I want that. Whatever that is on your life, I want that. I don't even know what it is, but I want that. There should be something on our life that makes us a little different than the neighbor. Because we want them, unless they're a Christian too, and they're on fire. We want to look a little different. We want them to go on, what is that? What's happening over there? What's going on your side of the fence over there, Tina? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You can see Paul figured it out right here. What does he say, verse 4? And my message and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit. In demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Verse 5, that your faith should not be on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Who were the apostles? Who were the apostles? They were by and large a group of very unlearned men. They were very ordinary folks. They weren't the teachers of the day. They weren't the professors. They were business people. They were people off the street. They were your fishermen. They were your business people in that day and age. That's your business people then. But they were ordinary people. They weren't the great learned professors, the ones who studied the law all their life, the ones who had a great degrees behind them. Why? Because he didn't want it to be about that. He didn't want it to be about what we can do with our own head. He didn't want it to be about what we can do out of our intellect. Because see, the way of the Spirit is never about those things. The way of the Spirit has to come from the Spirit. When the way of the Spirit comes from the Spirit, then there's a release of the Spirit that goes with it. If it comes out of the intellect, there's nothing but intellect being stimulated. You have an emotion and you have a little head knowledge, but you don't get change and transformation. The release of the Spirit is the release for transformation. It's the release for true change. When God gives you a message that comes out of the Spirit of God, there's a release that changes lives. That's what he's doing here. He's causing us to dig deeper in him. He's causing us to look for him in brand new ways. It's fine to have your emotions stirred up, but there should be something that begins to happen in addition to that. Something that goes deeper, something that makes your life look different. That's what we're looking for. The anointing of God. He says, you have the anointing. You have an anointing on your life. Acts 4 and 33 tells us that they were giving out of great power. See, the apostles has got together and they prayed. Out of that prayer, out of their desperation to do something for God, they came into a place where there was great power. They were giving witness. In great power, they were giving witness. And out of that power, they were giving witness. There was a change and transformation that happened to the whole nation of Israel. How many of you have been touched by the healing of the Lord, either through Sozo or through the services we've had recently? Just give us a hand. There's a witness. There's a witness being released right there. As you recognize this healing touch, there's a witness that's being released. As you begin to speak of it and release it in your neighborhood, in the places that you work, and in the places that you frequent, there's a power that's released with that. If you want the anointing, come into agreement with the anointing. Come into agreement with it. Begin to make declaration that, yes, I have the anointing of God on my life. I have the anointing of God on my life. Don't mess around with it. Jump up and say it. That's good. A little thunder from heaven. Come on. This is a vehicle. What God is doing, he's given you a vehicle to begin to release a testimony. Much as he's given you faith. See, faith gives you the means to release and have what grace says you can have. Grace says we can have this. Grace says we can have eternal life. Grace says that we can have change in our lives. Grace says that we can have a good hope. Faith allows you to apprehend that. Faith allows you to come into agreement with it. Grace says you can have an anointing. You want to see? Go to Ephesians 3, verse 7. It says, Ephesians 3, verse 7, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me according to the working of His power. See, there's an anointing to minister. And it says minister here. It didn't just say teach. It didn't just say share. It said to minister. To release something out of the Spirit that begins to make a change. Because when we minister out of the presence of God, when we minister out of the anointing of God, there's a release that changes lives. And that's what you're looking for. Hallelujah. You know, there are some things that will block the release of power in our life. LaRue's mentioned talking about forgiveness and things like that. Let me mention one more that I talked about two Sundays ago. Or last Sunday? Maybe it was last Sunday. It was last Sunday. And that's authority issues. When we have an authority issue, it blocks the transformation of power. It blocks the flow. And I know this makes some of you nervous. Smile at me. Because the reality is, see, when we have an issue of an authority issue in our life, then it blocks us from receiving from that authority. I called it, Who's Your Daddy? If you want to look it up, go look at it. Every one of us has received and had injury some point in time from some authority figure in our life. And when we begin to take that and take it into the throne room and deal with it, now suddenly we can actually receive from those who are established in our life to bring goodness. God says He puts authority figures in our life to establish us, to perfect us, to bring us into goodness. He's doing this. It's supposed to be a good thing and a blessing. But somehow the enemy often takes and twists it and turns it and perverts it in such a way that we no longer want to have anything to do with authority figures. I know a lot about this. I walked in a whole bunch of it, okay? A bunch of rebellion for years and years. And I can tell you, it did not prosper me. And God is calling me to prosper. So you have to deal with the authority thing. Deal with that issue. Deal with that blocker. John 14 and 30 says this, the ruler of this world has nothing in me. The ruler of this world has nothing in me. You know, when we read that, we really just kind of assume that this means sin. But that's not what he's talking about. See, sin is incomplete. If we limit it to just sin, it's incomplete. He's talking about the ruler of this world has nothing in me. He has nothing that he can cause fear with. He has nothing he can cause doubt and unbelief with. He has no other issues that he can pull on to turn my button to cause me to do something that I'm not supposed to do. It's not just a sin issue. It's an issue of being able to stand in authority because the authority of God is over your life and recognize His purpose. No fear, no doubt, no unbelief. Those are the things He's releasing you from. The ruler of this world has nothing in me. What keeps us from witnessing, bringing this forward? Because I believe there's something that we as a body need to move into. Bringing forth the witness. Bringing a witness. Sharing our witness. Sharing truth with those that we see. Sharing our freedom so that someone else can find freedom. Because see, when we'll begin to share that witness, when we'll begin to share those things, then all of a sudden, we give somebody else an opportunity for their world to be different, for their heart to be changed. We give an opportunity that will cause growth in ourself, in the person we're meeting with, growth in our church. There's growth on all parts of it. There's promotion associated with bringing the witness. Because God knows that he can trust you to do something that's very much on his heart. Because see, every one of us is out here to be a treasure hunter. And the treasures are the people that you have, that you come in contact with. What keeps us from doing that? I heard somebody once say that they had sat in lots and lots of churches and no one ever told them how to witness. Listen up. I'm telling you how to witness. What keeps us from witnessing? Risk. And most of us spell risk F-E-A-R. We don't want to be rejected. We don't want to be hurt. We don't want to be made fun of. All those things we dealt with when we were in grade school, and we don't want to go back through that. Because we didn't do so well with it in grade school, so now we don't want to deal with it as an adult because we can push it off. We don't have to. But the reality is you're not that same person anymore. You're not that same scrawny, skinny little kid anymore. At least I was, okay. You've grown up. You've matured. And guess what? If somebody rejects what you're bringing to them, that's not about you. That's not even about them. That's about what they're doing to Jesus. And it's time at that moment to have a great empathy for them and to begin to try to figure out how do I pray for them to open that up. Release what God's put in you. Release what God's put in you. He has given you an anointing. And that anointing brings forth a witness. That anointing brings forth power. That anointing brings forth strength. That anointing sets atmospheres around you. Those are the things that God begins to do when there's something happening inside of you. He can touch someone else. Those things are compelling. And he's compelling you to bring forth promotion. Recognize when you're face-to-face with someone and you're in a witnessing situation. That in Luke 10 and 17, when they came back, they said, Jesus, even the devils are subject to your name. They're subject to us in your name. Recognize that sickness and fear, unbelief and doubt, they're subject to your name, the name of Jesus. They're subject to the name of Jesus. Something I shared on Tuesday was that the blood comes and it covers our sin. The blood comes and washes it and cleanses us of sin. It's the redemption. But it's the name, it's the power. It's the name of Jesus that where the power and the authority comes from. It's the name of Jesus where the authority is released from. The subject, every devil is subject to that name. Sickness and disease is subject to that name. Every circumstance becomes subject to that name. God wants to release an anointing of his Spirit. He wants to release a freshening and awakening of the anointing. This morning, as I prayed, he came in the dove, the Holy Spirit came and he touched my shoulder. He wants to release the anointing. He wants to release the Holy Spirit to come and to be awakened in our life in a new way. I want to share that with you tonight. I want to share that with you tonight because I want all of us to be in a place where we're going where God wants us to go. I want all of us to be in a place where we're recognizing and doing the things that he's putting in our heart and recognizing and stepping out, even if we feel fearful that we're overcoming. Risk is wonderful. Instead of something we need to avoid, it needs to be something that we need to look for. I can tell you that as a Christian, when I grew the most when I was taking the most risk. There were times when, just incredible things would happen because you were taking a risk. Even to the point of one time there was a place where I committed to go and I said, Lord, I don't even know where it is, but I did commit to go, so I'm going to go. And he just told me, get in your car. And I drove. And he said, turn here. And we went there. He said, turn here. And I turned there. And he said, turn here. And he said, turn. And he said, turn there. And I went on past it. And he was like, wait a second, what happened to God? And he was like, back there, that other left that I should have taken. So I went back and backtracked to where I last heard him. And I drove right up to the house. In Houston. Okay? Not in Podunk, USA. In Houston. God knows what he's doing. He can be your navigator. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. He can be your navigator. He wants to give you signs and wonders. He wants to make all of it something that you can begin to relate to someone else, because the time and the testimony that's in you will touch the life of someone else. Hallelujah. 1 John 4 and 17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we. Repeat it with me. As he is, so am I in this world. As he is, so am I in this world. I don't think I need to say anything else other than that. As he is, so am I in this world. He's given you anointing. He's given you a fire. He's setting you forth and sending you out in the same way that he was sent out. Jesus is coming to send you out. He's releasing you in the same way that he was released. The same power and authority that was on his life is there for you. All that matters is for us to shift our mindset a little bit. Shift our mindset and let him minister. Hallelujah. I just want to just invite you to come up in just a second. But first, I just break off any hardness or dullness right now in the name of Jesus. I just break it off now in the name of Jesus. I take authority over every hardness and the dullness. And Father, I just call to come forth the joy of the Lord, Father, to be their strength. Father, the joy of the Lord to be their testimony, Father. The joy of the Lord to be their witness, Father, that goes before them. And I thank you, Father. And I thank you, Father, for meeting every one of the needs, Father, that they have concern over. And Lord, I thank you for the release of your Spirit in a brand new way tonight. A quickening of that Spirit of God. A quickening of the Holy Spirit tonight. Father, that we would go forth, Father, and bring forth a testimony. Hallelujah. Celebrate risk in your life. Celebrate risk. As you begin to celebrate risk, you'll find that things change. Whatever's held you back will truly be broken. Whatever's kept you from stepping out will no longer be able to have its work in its way. Yes, there is power in the name. If you would like, I would love to just come, and I would love to pray for anybody who wants to come. And I just want to release a freshening of the Holy Spirit, a fresh release. As he's touching my life, I expect and even encourage that he's going to touch yours. All right. Thank you. God bless.